This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Caney. What's on your tech gadget wish list for the holidays? Maybe a drone or Bluetooth speakers or an ultra-high-definition TV. Joining us for a look at some of the high-tech products that could be the perfect gifts for you or someone on your list, our Supervisor of Technology with St. Elizabeth Healthcare, Phil Horney, and software architect and developer Dave Hatter. You can join us at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. Dave and Phil, good to see both of you this afternoon. Thank you for being here.
Yeah, it's our pleasure. Yeah,
thanks, Mark.
So let's just jump right into the list. Let's start with the what you term the cool stuff, starting with the Nanoleaf Aura Smart Light Panels. What are these?
I love these things. They're little triangular. They're flat. They look like just a kind of a white triangle until you connect them all together, turn them on. Then they can be any color you want in any pattern you want. So you start out with three in the base pack, and then you can add panels as much as you want to create shapes and designs. They light up to music. That's really just a neat tech. Yep.
Could I cover my house in these if I wanted to?
Probably. That'd be a great Christmas decoration.
So you can do virtually anything with these, Dave. It sounds like create any kind of pattern, any size pattern.
It's pretty cool. This is one of those things, you know, Phil and I work on this independently and then put our list together. This is one of those things we both landed on completely independently of one another. I don't know if that's because we're both just total geeks or it's really that cool, but it's pretty neat. I'd encourage people to check it out because it's surprisingly cool what you can do with it. And, you know, it's not inexpensive. It would cost a lot, I think, to cover the whole outside of your house, Mark. Maybe just one wall.
Talking what? It's a little over $200 for a starter kit. Is that right?
Yeah, about $230 for a starter kit. And then the expansion packs are like $60 each. So it would cost you some money, but you could put on quite an impressive display.
My wife might not approve of that. Yeah. You've also got on the cool stuff list the LG Signature OLED TV. Tell us about this one.
What a beautiful TV. And it's really thin. It's about as thin as your smartphone, the whole TV. But it's super expensive. So unless you've got an unlimited budget, you're not going to be able to afford the coolness factor of this TV. It's flat. It basically just sticks up to your wall, and then it's got a sound bar that has all the electronics in it. So you would wow your neighbors with this for sure and get an amazing picture. But at $8,000 to start, I don't know how cool you want to be.
How big a screen are we talking?
You can get up to a 77-inch on these, and of course, that's about $14,000.
Oh my gosh.
For a 77-inch.
Yeah. You think this is going to be like a lot of electronics where if you wait a little while, the price is going to start to come down?
Oh, absolutely.
Exactly what I was going to say, Mark. Next year, the $14,000 one will probably be $4,000, and the $8,000 one will be like $1,000. You know, that's part of the problem. If you're an early adopter of any of this stuff, you're typically going to pay through the nose and then watch the prices plummet as the other companies catch up with it.
Right. And this is an example of the kind of technology that you're going to see coming into the future as OLED TVs get thinner. You're going to start seeing them be flexible, being able to just kind of stick them up to your wall.
What's OLED stand for, by the way?
It's organic light emitting diode.
Organic?
Organic.
Okay, as opposed to just regular LED then.
Yes. So they're very small. I mean, they're tiny. You really can't even see them when they're in the screen matrix. And they can be on or off in any color that you want.
So if you've got about $8,000 to $14,000 that you want to spend for Christmas and this might be the gift for you.
Go wild.
But to Phil's point, you know, the technology of the future here, yeah, I think you're going to start seeing these things crop up everywhere. Stores, because if you think about it, rather than your old standard kiosk, which is, you know, maybe a tube or a typical flat screen TV, to Phil's point, as these get smaller, thinner, and more flexible, you could just literally stick one up just about anywhere. So kind of reminds me a little bit of Minority Report.
Yeah,
you know?
Easy to hang that on the wall, I take
it. Yes.
Yeah, compared to the TVs we have nowadays. Mm-hmm. Even as small as they are. What are some of the other things on the cool stuff list, guys?
Well, the last one there, the iSelector Wi-Fi smart socket, I thought this was kind of cool, and it's pretty inexpensive. Probably everyone's left their house and thought, did I turn off the fill-in-the-blank iron coffee maker or whatever? So this is basically an IoT, Internet of Things kind of device. It's a socket. It plugs in. It has its own socket on the front, and then you can control it remotely. So, for example, if you're like, did I really turn off the iron? Well, you could put the iron in one of these guys, and then when you leave the house, make sure it's turned off.
Okay, so you plug the iron directly into this device.
Yes, and it plugs directly into the wall. So it's between your device and the wall, and essentially then you can turn it off or on remotly.
And what kind of price are we talking about for that?
Less than $20.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
That's more my
great.
Price range.
Yeah. Exactly.
Than the $8,000 TV.
Yeah, for
mine
sure.
Mine too. but kind of handy and inexpensive and something that, you know, a lot of these things, unless you're really, really into this tech, are probably out there. But that's something that is fairly practical.
Mm-hmm. What else is on this list?
One of the things that are really starting to show up, and these were on our list last year, are advanced wireless routing or mesh wireless routers. So you can get better wireless coverage throughout your home for all of your Internet of Things devices like your Amazon Echo and your Google Home and all those different things.
Or your video games or your Roku or your smart socket that you want to turn off.
Yeah, I mean,
to Phil's point, we're adding more and more devices all the time, so it's consuming more and more bandwidth. You want to use them in places where maybe you're not able to get a good signal. So some of these new routers can go a long way towards making your coverage a lot better.
Anything else on the cool list you want to highlight?
Well, I like your digital art frame. You know, most of us can't afford.
So this is Dave's choice.
This is Dave's choice.
Okay.
But I know I can't afford all of the, you know, art that this frame provides for you. Basically, you can rent any piece of art. You know, you could rent the Mona Lisa and have it on your screen.
So imagine, I think people have seen digital picture frames for some time, right? Mm-hmm. You go out and you put your smart card in it or whatever. Well, imagine this, but on a much grander scale. So you actually have a frame hanging on your wall that looks like a nice frame from a real frame shop, you know, not something you got at Walmart for $15 in the clearance rack. And then essentially, it's called Mural. You essentially have a subscription, and you can get free art, by the way, too. But through the subscription, for example, you can have it like display the Mona Lisa for 10 minutes and then display, I don't know, some other
Starry
famous
Night.
Painting.
Yeah,
pretty much anything you want. It's pretty cool. And so it's not cheap. You're looking at probably $400 to $600 depending on the frame you get and so forth.
And then you have to pay for the subscription as well.
There is a subscription. But like I said, there's some free stuff you can use as well if you don't want to pay the subscription. But if you're into art and you'd like to kind of step up your game without having to spend an enormous amount of money trying to acquire real art, this is a simple way to get in. It's pretty cool. I wish I would have thought of this idea, actually.
Yeah.
What about from the world of fitness? What kind of tech gadgets are out there?
Well, I know last year, I think fitness was on our list of things not to give because, you know, nothing says, hey, you might be a little overweight, like giving a fitness device. But now I think fitness is much more mainstream, and I think it's acceptable now, and people actually want this as a gift. So we've got the Motive Active Tracking Ring. Technology is getting so much smaller, and now you can have a ring that you wear on your finger, just like a regular ring, that'll track your heart rate, your general fitness, your sleep, syncs to your phone, and the battery lasts about 3 days. Very cool. It's only $200, too.
Yeah, so compared to a big clunky Fitbit like the one I'm wearing right here, mm-hmm. you know. Now, I don't know how stylish these rings are.
You and I both are wearing,
yeah. But, you know, perhaps rather than some kind of fitness tracker that you'd wear on your wrist, a ring or something like that might appeal to more people. Or, to Phil's point then, you know, the old, yeah, here's your tracker, you know, maybe it's sending the wrong message. Nowadays, in addition to things like rings that might seem a little more stylish and not quite as obvious as the fitness tracker, you've now got a lot of these things like the new Ionic smartwatch that has, you know, additional capabilities besides the fitness tracker. It looks more like a watch and less like a fitness tracker. So instead of just kind of it'll tell you how many steps you've taken, heart rate, and that kind of thing, you can literally use it as a smartwatch to some extent. So, you know, they've come a long way, and they're a little less I don't know what the word for it is, but not as much of a, hey, yeah, you need to get fit, and more of a, it's a more practical device now.
But like you're saying, fitness devices have moved off your naughty list now.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly.
What about things for younger kids? What's out there that are good tech gifts for
I
kids?
I like Lego Boost. So, you know, a lot of kids like Legos anyway. They're fun to play with. The Lego Boost is essentially a Lego block set that's got some technology capabilities so you can build things, do a little programming, you know, get some skills around learning how to code and that sort of thing. You know, it's not cheap. It's about $160. But if you have kids that are interested, you know, I would say probably maybe in the range of 9 to 12, 13, something like that, that are interested in computers, learning about technology, learning how to code, and like Lego, I think that's probably a great fit right there.
Yeah, everything Lego and things that you can build are really at the top of my list for younger kids. I like the Star Wars Droid Inventor Kit because, you know, Star Wars is everywhere, and we've got the new movie coming out in a week. And what could be cooler than building your own R2-D2 that you can control with your phone and make it come to life with the different sounds, do challenges and special missions. That's pretty cool. Ages 8 and up, and it's only $100.
Now, I hate to rain on the Star Wars parade here because I am a fan, but, you know, when you think about all this advanced technology that we're talking about right now, how is it that R2-D2 can't speak? Why is it that it only makes noises?
Yeah, I don't know. You'd think,
you ask too many questions.
Yeah, I know. I know. I'm one of those irritating people that always ask questions like that.
Yeah, if only you were R2-D2, yeah. Dave.
You know? It's like...
Speaking of questions, what about the safety of some of these internet toys that have so much connectivity?
Yeah, I think that's a super important question that parents need to ask. As we get more and more toys, whether they're things like these kits we're talking about or dolls, drones, anything and everything now is increasingly connected to the internet. The Internet of Things you hear people talk about. And there's a lot of concern out there. The FBI has put out some pretty good information about this. There are known examples of both companies that have built these toys leaking the information they've collected about kids through them, whether it's audio, video, or just the data that they acquire as part of the signup process. VTech lost something like 6.4 million records that was primarily about kids a few years ago. But then you've got the more immediate danger, because, you know, that leads to identity theft and all that kind of thing. But you've got the more immediate danger of things like the Shodan search engine can find these Internet of Things connected devices. If these toys are rushed to market and they're not really built with security in mind, which many of them aren't, or you're not installing the updates, the firmware, all that other sort of things that you need to do to your router and other Internet of Things devices, people can potentially get directly to your kids. So I'm not saying you shouldn't buy these things. I'm just simply saying, understand the risk. Be careful. There's a lot of great information. Again, the FBI has a whole site about this with a lot of great tips for parents. It's something you should definitely think about before you just go willy-nilly buying these things and plugging them in.
And we've got so many Internet of Things devices that this year we've put on a couple of smart security devices to keep that kind of information from leaking onto the internet from all of your home devices. So we've got the Bitdefender Box Smart Security Hub, and those are in two versions that take your personal information, transcribe it from all of the data that your IoT devices are sending to the internet. Norton also makes a nice box called the Norton Core that does the same sort of thing, gives you parental controls, gives you device protection. Basically, you can install the Norton software or the Bitdefender software on as many machines, PCs, phones, tablets that you have in your home and help you protect this kind of data.
And if you're looking for a gift for Dave Hatter, these sound like these would be the perfect kinds of things to buy Dave.
Well, Dave doesn't like Internet of Things. He's just a bit paranoid. His house is a big Faraday cage.
Exactly. And that's one of my suggestions for the privacy-minded Mark, the Faraday cage / bag / wallet. There's a company called Silent Pocket, and there's others that literally make bags, boxes, briefcases, backpacks, etc., that are specifically designed to block any kind of electronic signals. So, for example, if you really want to get off the grid, you can put your phone in this thing, and there's nothing going in or out of that bag. They're not cheap, and you know they make wallets, that kind of thing, so you can potentially protect yourself from like a card skimmer, where someone could get close enough to read your card. I don't know how realistic that is, but if you do find yourself in a scenario where for whatever reason you truly want to get off the grid, right? Because in a lot of newer phones, you can't even take the battery out of it. You can't really turn the thing off. You can buy one of these, stick it in there. There's nothing going in or out of this bag. Hey, but it's not cheap, $70.
Speaking of all this, I've heard about the bots that are being used to drive up the price of toys.
Or keep you from buying the toys.
Yeah. What's going on with this?
So a bot basically is just sort of a nickname for software, usually some kind of automated software process. And in this sort of fits into the Grinch bot category. So these things aren't new. They've been around for a long time. They've been used for a lot of ticket scalping type purposes in the past. So somebody's coming to town, somebody will set up a bot, and basically it goes in and attempts to buy all the tickets. So it's just an automated process. But what they've done now, which is, you know, I appreciate the ingenuity of the evil at work here. They go out and say, okay, what's going to be a hot toy? As soon as this thing's released, these bots fire up. You know, you might have hundreds, thousands, millions of computers doing nothing but trying to connect to sites where they can buy these things. They buy them all and then attempt to turn around and sell them somewhere else, like on eBay or Amazon.
Yeah, so, for a premium, they're much more expensive.
For a huge premium in some cases. I saw a story that said there are people selling the Nintendo, the old Nintendo NES that they brought back like last year.
Oh, the NES Classic, yeah.
Yeah, they're selling as much as $13,000. I think the thing cost like, what, $200 new or something?
Yeah, it wasn't very expensive, and now they're scalping them, driving up the prices because they own them all.
Yeah, which is crazy. I mean, I don't know who thinks of this stuff, but...
Me neither.
You know, people trying to make a few bucks. Hands.
Yeah. What's a good gift item for the non-tech savvy?
Well, you know, anybody non-techie, they really shouldn't be on our list.
I guess that means I'm off.
Things like Roku, I think, is a good gift. You know, I'm a cord cutter. I got off cable last year, finally forced myself off of it because, you know, the kids are like, well, I want to be able to watch this. I'm like, I can get it all online. So something like a Roku or a Chromecast, you know, the cheap Roku Express is only like $25. It gives you access. Now, you have to have a Netflix account. You have to have a Hulu account and so forth. But, I mean, just about anything you could imagine, you can access online there. And it's extremely simple to set up. Plug it into the HDMI port, assuming you have Wi-Fi running, switch it on, and, I mean, you're online in a matter of minutes. So, now, again, you're going to have a Netflix account and a Hulu account and other accounts potentially to really take advantage of all of the capabilities of the thing. But for $22, it makes it pretty easy to cut the cable between buying a regular digital antenna and this. You really don't need cable anymore.
Yeah. And you notice a trend in our list this year. A lot of things have built-in Amazon Alexa for voice control. And one of the things that I found was the Garmin Speak, which is a basically, it's like an Alexa for your car. You just mount it on your windshield, and it uses your phone for your data connection. You can talk to it. And like for older adults, this is nice because you can just tell it what kind of directions you want. The screen is not complicated. It's very small. It just does things like give you directions or play music or do simple things.
And I wanted to make sure we also took time to get into the bad list too, Dave, as we're going through these things.
One last thing for something that's not for people not too technical, the Logitech Bluetooth audio adapter. So let's say you have some stereo equipment and you'd like to be able to have a phone that can, you know, play music over the internet to it or music that's stored as MP3s on it, computer, whatever. You could buy one of these things, go out to Best Buy, it's like $20. It's little, it plugs in, it hops right up on your Wi-Fi, you plug it into the back of the stereo using traditional jacks, and then it just shows up and you can broadcast stuff to it. So again, it doesn't require a lot of savvy to set up and actually is very convenient. I love the one that I have.
Yeah, it's a pretty neat device.
So what's bad? I think I see Amazon Key at the top of your list.
Well, that made it on both our good and bad list because it's a neat device. It replaces your lock and it allows you to give access to folks to get into your home, like the Amazon Prime delivery person or your neighbor if they're going to take care of your dog. But then that gets really into a security issue. Like, do you really need this device to let people into your home? And then what happens if it gets hacked or if they, you know, they come up with some way to get in? And let's say you don't have one of these security devices we were talking
about. If you dig into it, it seems like Amazon. I mean, they're pretty smart. They put some thought into it. But I can tell you, Dave Hatter will not have an Amazon key anytime soon.
No, I won't either.
Not going to happen.
Drones? You've got drones on the bad idea list? Really?
They were on our list all over last year. They were all kind of drones. But now it's just kind of like, well, you know, do you really need one or are they just a nuisance? There's a lot of things coming out on how to remove the drones from the skies over your house. There's
like
guns.
Like your EMP gun you've been working on
EMP
your spare
guns
time,
and,
Phil? Yeah.
And the guns that shoot the nets and all kinds of crazy stuff to get rid of.
Yeah. That'll take care of it. Okay. Shoot it right out of the sky.
So I think personally, drones are probably not the best gift idea.
I mean, if you're into aeronautics, I guess, maybe if you had the old Cox model planes or whatever, I don't know. I've never been that excited about drones personally, not only because I just don't find it that interesting myself, and the privacy implications, as Phil mentioned, the nuisance aspect that it creates for the rest of us, I'm not that big of a fan personally.
What are some of the other things on the bad list?
You know, all this Internet of Stuff. Internet of Things stuff is what I'm trying to say. I'm not a big fan of bringing devices into my house that are designed to listen to me all the time. You know, how long is that data stored on the device? What actually gets sent? There have been all kinds of security problems so far with things like Google Home where they had a bug in it and it literally did listen to every single word you said, whether you said the start word or not. So I'm very cautious about that. I don't need a refrigerator that knows how much mayo I eat. I don't need a thermostat that's reporting on how much whatever I'm doing. So, you know, I'm sensitive to these things. Phil may not be as sensitive as me, but
I'm not as sensitive as you, Dave. But one thing I don't need is a VR headset. I mean, virtual reality.
For what?
They were hot last year, but now it's like, well, is it really that great? I don't think it is. New things are coming along, like augmented reality. If you look online and look up the Microsoft HoloLens, it's something that adds virtual components to your real world, like Pokemon Go was.
Well, Phil and Dave, thank you for sharing your list with us this afternoon.
You're always welcome. Thank you.
It's our pleasure.
Supervisor of Technology with St. Elizabeth Healthcare, Phil Horney, and software architect and developer Dave Hatter. You can find a link to their complete list of the best and worst tech gifts at wvxu.org.